He bowed and kissed his paws to the company as they applauded, wrinkling his nose until his round black eyes were almost lost behind chubby cheeks. Turning to Saxtus, William returned the compliments.
Now it be thy turn to sing a song, Sir Zacchus.
Saxtus waved his paws, blushing modestly.
No, I'm the worst singer in the Abbey. My voice sounds like a mad owl with his beak trapped in a log.
Dandin clapped his friend upon the back.
Go on, you dusty old bookworm. You're as dry as Brother Hubert. Ah, I've got an idea. Why don't you recite us a poem? You've learned lots of them from those old books and parchments in the gatehouse. Go on, Saxtus, have a go.
Saxtus remained seated. He shuffled and coughed nervously.
Oh, all right, if you really must. But I'm not too good at this sort of thing. Right, here goes. This is a rhyme I found on a scroll in the gatehouse some seasons ago. I'm not sure what it means, but I like the words.
Saxtus summoned up his courage and began reciting.
The wind's icy breath o'er the land of death tells a tale of the yet to come. Across the heaving waves which mark ships' graves lies an island known to some, where seas pound loud and rocks stand proud and blood flows free as water. To the far northwest, which knows no rest, came a father and his daughter. The mind was numb and the heart struck dumb when the night seas took the child, hurled to her fate by a son of Hell Gate, the Dark One called the Wild. You whom they seek, though you do not speak, the legend is yet to be born. One day you will sing over stones that are red in the misty summer dawn.
An eerie silence had fallen over the young creatures sitting beneath the oak in the sunlit midday grounds of the abbey. Saxtus fidgeted with embarrassment as they stared at him. Tree Rose, the pretty squirrel, was the first to break the silence.
Well, that was a silly, nasty little rhyme. I didn't like it one bit. There's no story and no point to it. What a load of old mumbo-jumbo.
She shot off up the trunk of the oak, showering them with leaves and twigs as she did. To break the mood, Dandin began applauding loudly.
Hooray! Well done, Saxtus! Very good!
The others joined in until they were interrupted by Mother Malice.
Come on, young'uns. Bring any of those dibbins you can find along with you. Lunchtime! Come on, it's being served in the orchard. Turnip and mushroom flan with beetroot and scallions, followed by honeysuckle sauce and acorn dumplings. And I want to see clean paws before any beast gets served.
As they washed their paws in a rain barrel by the abbey's south wall, Dandin questioned Saxtus.
Where in the name of fur did you learn that poem? It was very strange.
Told you, didn't I? It was on some dusty old scroll in the gatehouse. I read it when Brother Hubert dozed off. Now the confounded thing seems to have burnt itself into my memory.
Blind Simeon joined the friends, dipping his paws into the butt with them.
Yes, some things have a habit of doing that, don't they? Still, who knows, they may come in useful through the seasons to come. I'd be glad I'd remembered it if I were you, young Saxtus.
Would you, brother?
I certainly would. There is much knowledge in ancient writings. Actually, I was standing near the oak when you recited it. You were right. The words do have a certain ring to them. Oh, and Dandin, would you like something to remember also?
Yes, please, Brother Simeon. What is it?
Remember to leave some of those acorn dumplings for us old ones. We can't make it to table as fast as you young'uns.
Dandin smiled as he winked at Saxtus.
Come on then, brother. Hold our paws. We'll lead you round to lunch and you'll get as much as any beast. We'll see to it.
The two young friends led the blind herbalist off to the orchard, astounded by his perception of their movements.
Dandin, why did you wink at Saxtus when you said you would take me to lunch?
I meant nothing, brother. Why do you ask?
Because I remember a similar wink passing between those two little otter villains, Bag and Run, when they said they would assist me into supper. I ended up in the dusty old gatehouse while they dashed off and scoffed up all the oat muffins with clover butter. But you wouldn't do a thing like that to me, would you?
This time it was Saxtus who winked at Dandin.
We couldn't, brother. You're holding our paws far too tight.
Earlier that same morn, The Dark Queen had nosed her bows into Terremort Cove. As Leather gave the order, a double fluked anchor splashed into the clear water. Saltar, the corsair, came ashore with his crew. They were fully armed, but relaxed by the sight of the empty cove. The sea rats were still wading through the shallows to the shingled beach when the rocks in front of them came alive with 100 of Gabul's fighters armed with long spears and cross-hilted pikes. Saltar cursed beneath his breath, but showed no alarm. Standing with his crew knee-deep in the shallows, he faced the bristling pikes boldly.
Bilgrets, what's all this about? Where's Gabul?
Blagtail, the leader of the shore party, shrugged.
Ain't fault Bladegirt. He said you're to come up.